Oh, you're right.
It's September 6, 2009.
And this is the second Idle Thumbs PAX podcast. And I'm Chris Remo.
I'm Nick Brecken.
And I'm Jake Rodkin.
And we're joined today by Chet Falzek of Valve.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. Hello, fellow dwellers of the hallway.
Yeah, yes. We're in the hallway right now. We don't know how this is going to turn out, but yeah. There might be guys playing some kind of board or card game opposite us and sliding chairs.
Yeah, we're actually recording this from a tabletop free play table, so
yeah.
We're keeping it real.
We are keeping it very real.
In the spirit of the Penny Arcade.
A little too real, but that's okay.
Yeah.
So you guys are making a video game right now. It's got two numbers in the title.
Man, thanks. So, I was confused what I was doing this morning, so actually, that clears it up.
What you're doing is making a video game.
Okay.
Yeah. How's it going?
Really well. We're pretty much in the final month of the Left 4 Dead 2 development. One of the things... those guys kind of fast. Well, we'll see. So we're, you know, doing the polishing touches, kind of final pass. One of the interesting things I think people will be surprised about is that we've been showing the game along. We've actually been holding a lot of stuff back. So, like, today we're showing Dark Carnival down on the PAX floor, and you actually don't see the car that you arrive there in, because we wanted to hold that back. It's a little surprise of how the first campaign ends. We don't have the games in to play in the carnival once you're inside the amusement park, and some other bits like that. And so those are all being refined, tested. Everything is getting the polish pass. It's going well. So we're all set for our November 17th release date.
Awesome. What is the what's the deal with the playable games in the game?
What's the deal with those?
What's the deal with airplane food?
You know, the carnival, the Dark Carnival campaign is kind of one where we take a little bit of fun. Not that the game's ever all that serious, because, you know, zombies vomit on you and spit on you and, you know, get to have some fun there. We wanted to just kind of really go out and have some fun in a campaign. And so there's different, little carnival games you can play. And one actually involves winning something and going on and using that in an achievement. And the Realm Lovejoy and Laura... Oh, man, I've never said Laura's name out loud before. So I'm just going to say, and Laura Dubuc. I apologize, Laura. Sorry. Oh, my God. And John Guthrie of a... They've created this entire genealogy of the peanuts involved in these games and everything, and so it's
peanuts.
It's a carnival. It's in the kids section, so it's little peanuts. And so little peanut is the hero. Mustachio is the evil character.
Oh, so they're fighting for
Natasha. It is all your bad peanut puns you've ever hoped to hear in one place.
Excellent. That's why I buy Valve games. Are you going to have Little Peanut 2? Like,
we'll have to see, you know.
Yeah, you
know. We'll have to see. But, you know, whenever we kind of do the art pass and kind of make a section real, we always try to take from the real world and build on it. And that's an example of that.
Sure.
We kind of looked at how other amusement parks do their... kids area, and they brand it with something. We're in Georgia. Little Peanut seemed a natural choice, and we went from there.
That's cool. Are you guys marketing at all to, like, the Carnival Games contingent? Like, are you trying to...
The carnies?
Yeah.
You know, they're on the road a lot. I don't know if they're really, you know, big game players.
Yeah, fair enough.
But,
yeah.
You know, if you are a carny and you're out there, you know, let us know your feedback on the games, if we got them right.
Got to get a carny focus test.
Because they're all honest, I know. And so all the carny games will be set to be, you can win them fairly.
Oh, cool. There you go. That might go against the grain of the traditional design for that style of game.
Yeah, we'll see.
I just want to talk about these, apparently.
No trick milk carton stacking or anything, you know, it's all...
That's cool. I mean, do you think you're going to get players who are just, like, sitting there trying to play those, like, when the game is going on?
We're kind of fascinated with that.
Yeah.
Because especially if you tie one to an achievement, the whole team gets the achievement, right? Because you don't want to just have the one. But it's going to be the interesting, hey, guys, cover me. I gotta play this game, you know?
Could you rig the Carnival Games on Expert?
Oh, that would be good. That'd be good. We could.
Then it's impossible.
We might.
Yeah. Good, done. Confirmed.
We've already done that, and I'm not just taking your idea.
Okay.
Can we expect future downloadable Carnival games?
Yes. In fact, probably Left 4 Dead is just all going to turn into Carnival games.
Oh, good.
It'll be a bunch of mini games on the Wii.
Excellent. That was what I was hoping for since the first game, so, you know.
Why haven't they released just a Carnival games game?
You'll have to get a new game because there's already Carnival games for the Wii by 2K. So, I know.
Damn 2K in their fast development and coming out with it for us. They had a spy at Valve and they saw our development of the Carnival games.
I see. Man, we're breaking all kind of news here.
Yeah.
Left and right. Yeah.
At this point, if they didn't catch the beginning, they're just confused.
Right. That's what our podcast is like.
What are you guys talking about?
Yeah, that's
so. Where's the zombies?
Well, who turns into the middle of the podcast? Carnival games on the Wii. Like,
Valve.
You start doing the hello, I skip ahead. Like, where's the meat of the matter? Where's someone talking?
We might not listen to that many podcasts.
We don't know how these work.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's cool.
We have this microphone, you see, and people will talk to us, apparently. So,
They'll skip past the chairs. So,
What? Weird. Okay.
The scraping. They'll hear the scraping and immediately skip to Carnival Games.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
anyway, we ruined this part of the conversation.
Yeah.
Anyway, maybe we should actually talk about
Left 4 Dead
part where you shoot a zombie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, remember, it's not only just shooting zombies anymore. You can also pick up melee weapons.
That's true.
You can slash them.
There was actually a really good moment when I was playing yesterday when, like, my entire team ended up with katanas and axes and stuff, and all four of us were just running around hacking at things. It actually looked pretty amazing.
Did you take out a tank that way?
No, I didn't actually. I didn't run into a tank with that. I did kill a lot of the smaller ones.
I killed a couple of smaller ones.
That's an odd experience.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Doesn't work, I would assume.
That works as well as you would hope.
Right.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. So it works for, like, one guy who lives and the other three.
Yeah, normally it's a sacrificial lamb. You, like, go out front, right? And then everyone else jumps in the tank's back and starts beating on him.
Yeah.
That's
cool. When you're riding around on the, or when the jockey's riding around, can you also be swinging your katana?
No. No, you can't jump. You're kind of just path down to where you are, and the jockey's trying to steer you into trouble. And when you're jumping on somebody, you can't shoot their gun or anything. So as you're playing the jockey, you're just really... fighting for movement.
You're not
control.
Like the rat from Ratatouille.
Yes, correct. You are not making things.
I don't know, you know, maybe you're making popcorn at the, thing.
Yeah.
How did you guys end up with that character? I mean, is Left 4 Dead the kind of game where because the boss infected are so ridiculous, you can kind of just be like, well, what if this happens?
We have some rules when we're making special infected. Like, they're not mythical in the sense of that they're not supernatural.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They have to be grounded in something. How would things that are trying to kill you behave? What if some part of your human anatomy was extended out, like the spitter or the smoker? We throw it out to the whole company, and then we just... Everyone kind of gives feedback on ideas they've had. Because it's always, you always want to throw ideas like that out to the full company because you get somebody who's just been sitting on this great idea that they never knew how to say out loud because they're not on the team directly. They say it out loud. You know, we kind of go from there and then we break down the smaller teams, experiment on ideas. And then against all of this, the core team has this look at, you know, what are the goals? What are the constraints? What are the problems we're facing that we would like a special to be able to handle? And we'll kind of work it through that way. And so, like, the spitter and charger are very much in reaction to how people play Left 4 Dead. The jockey's a little different. We wanted to have another creature if you run way ahead or lag way behind that we could punish you, and the jockey definitely does that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it takes control away from the player. Was that something that you were maybe hesitant to do?
There's been a lot of playtesting.
I was going to loop that several times.
You could, and it still wouldn't be enough.
Yeah.
That would be the biggest concern about what that felt like. And right now, we still see where players who first have it happen to them will take their hands off the controls. We try to give you hints to say not to do that.
Right.
And it's a percentage. The jockey can control you more than you can control yourself once you're jockeyed. So if you just tried to go, if he's trying to put you forward and you're just trying to go backwards, he's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's trying to go forward and push you out a door, you can kind of take off on the vector and steer him into the wall and kind of block him from getting back and around. Because essentially, the first thing the jockey wants to do is go behind something so you can't shoot him off.
Right.
And then he wants to lead you into a witch. He wants to lead you into spitter goo. He wants to lead you off the side of a cliff. You know, all kinds of fun places.
Yeah.
I
was just going to say, it's interesting that you found that sometimes people will instinctively take their hands off of the controls when that happens, because that's in many cases what people do when there's a cutscene.
Correct.
And one of the things just that we were talking about on this podcast in one of the recent episodes was in a Valve game, for the most part, And this goes across Valve games. When you are not in control, that means your character also is actually not in control, which is not necessarily a rule you can apply to most video games. I mean, you know.
Yeah, and that's something that definitely during the design process we went back and forth on. The smoker, the hunter, are both times you get pulled back and you get to see yourself then, and you know right. You're not in control of yourself because these creatures are working on it. We're here, we try to put it in first person and have the jockey ripping at you, and it became even more confusing because you couldn't see what was on you, and players were confused, and so we put it in the third person, but third person's been our language to say you've lost control,
right.
So we need to be clear then that you haven't lost control. And so what we do is we not only have first-time play testers come in, but we have people repeatedly come in, we have people at Valve who aren't on the team play, and it's just refinement based on that.
Yeah.
But that was definitely a big concern in that area, especially taking away player control. Or diminishing player control is always a scary thing.
Yeah. What solution did you end up on? I'm sorry, I actually didn't get jockeyed, so.
Because you're too lead, right?
I'm way too lead. I am lead to the max.
He has a percentage of control greater than you do. And so that's what I'm saying of like, you know, think of it, I don't know the exact formula off the top of my head right now. I think it's like 70-30, but let's say it's that. Sure, we'll just change it to that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
In fact, let's edit that out, and we'll just change it back to that. So if he's pushing you forward 70 and you're pushing back 30, obviously 40% more is going forward, and that's why you lose there.
Mm.
Which is like people's first instinct, and then eventually as they play, they learn to do the more
you can
steering.
Sort of push him around.
Yeah.
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, you would have known that if you had come to help me when I died.
Oh, really?
I saw you like out of the corner of my eye, and you were swinging your katana, flailing about, and then I died.
I didn't...
A funny scene is always to watch, because we have a grenade launcher now, and watch the first time a player sees someone else get jockeyed Jesus. And they have the grenade launcher. And
like, what do you do?
You just see their head exploding, and then they finally realize, wait, I also have an axe. I'm going to go over there and hit him with the axe.
Right.
So...
Either the head exploding or your buddy's exploding, so something's going to explode real soon.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys... I don't know if I thought you were going to say something.
No.
You guys are adding more modding functionality, right? I think I talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, and so when we release the Left 4 Dead authoring tools for Left 4 Dead 2, we'll be exposing what we actually use. Again, so we did the same thing. We exposed what we used to make Left 4 Dead 1. Left 4 Dead 2 has a lot of changes with the director and a lot of changes of how the director interacts for level designers. And so we'll be opening that up as well. And so that'll give people a lot more control. And one of the things people ask about, like, you know, what makes Left 4 Dead different, it's the underlying core technology of the director has changed radically. And given us the ability to do different kind of events, different kind of things. You still don't want to ever have it be like, hey, place a smoker over there and place a hunter over here.
Right.
But inside the realm of being procedural and being this kind of randomizer of based on how you're doing, you have a little bit of influence. And so definitely things like the gauntlets need special tuning so that the director understands where you are in the space, how you're moving through it and everything. So we want to make sure that the level designers, the modders out there can have access to that.
What kind of control or influence do you have over the director now? Like more so than in Left 4 Dead 1?
Well, things like that. Like, so the gauntlet's a different kind of event.
Yeah.
You know, and the director in Left 4 Dead 1 just couldn't do that. And with that, we actually have the director inputting in and letting us know how people are doing, so we change the map layout in some of the maps. How it does the weather effects in one of the campaigns will make a difference. And there's some other effects we do that are like that. So it's even more about stuff that you traditionally think would be level logic actually goes into the director, so that it's making these choices based on the team and not just random.
Right. Do you think people are as aware generally of kind of the modding community in Left 4 Dead? Because I feel like it's, I don't know, stuff like Counter-Strike or games like or Team Fortress 2, I feel like it's more obvious that there are mods. You get into Left 4 Dead, and it has kind of a matchmaking thing, sort of, and I...
Well, I think definitely if you would have looked at, like, the TF community at this point from when the tools were released till now, you would see almost a similar state. Maybe a little bit further along just because their maps are smaller to make. And definitely now you're seeing just, like, in the TF community, people pretty quickly, when a new game mode comes out, coming out with their versions of that really quickly because they're really versed in that world and those tools and everything. And you know, partially with Left 4 Dead, it's just, it's new, so, and then it's big. So you're making a 5-map campaign, that's a lot of maps. You know, we look at something like Death Aboard, and people love it, and it's not complete yet. And they still love it, right? But it's just like, it's a lot of work, and there's one guy doing that. There's some other campaigns that are being made that have a couple guys working on it, and it's really, you almost need a team for Left 4 Dead 1, where in TF or Counter-Strike, a single guy can go off and make it. There's just so much content to create. And, you know, I think when we exposed out in the matchmaking now, in the play online, you can see all the lobbies that are currently created, and you can download. That's helped, and that's definitely, we saw a numbers uptick there. There's some other stuff we're going to be doing around the launch of the Crash Course DLC that'll be coming out. That'll talk about that into the modder community, so there's some other stuff going on that we'll keep pushing on that, because it's always great, right? I go play those all the time now, and they're just great to have this first time run through something and see what people are doing.
Right.
Also, though, just speaking from my like personal experience, playing Left 4 Dead, I still haven't really gotten tired of it. Like, I guess because of the director and just how much is, you know, and you know, survival mode and all that stuff. Just at this point, I don't even feel like the need to seek down, you know, seek a lot of mods. So.
Well, so that kind of ties in, actually, one of the things when we first were looking at Left 4 Dead 2 is we thought, man, we should just have this thing where, like, all these things are random in the campaigns and all these things. And you know, the layout is, we were talking about mainly about, like, just the layout should always be random. We should always, like, come from here and you don't know this. And it ends up, it wasn't satisfying. There's something satisfying about knowing, for the most part, like, if something bad happens, I'm smart enough to know where to go in this situation. And really kind of challenging yourself against things that everybody understands versus these random things that you don't understand, and you're kind of just reacting versus planning.
Right.
And so while we have some sections that do configure themselves differently, it really wasn't advantageous to do them in more... When we did them in some places, doing like a whole campaign like that wasn't like advantageous or satisfying. So it's always kind of a balancing act there. I mean, I think if you look at like DE Dust... Right, it's a good example of that's the same map everyone's played to death, and partially because you know the challenge and you know what's going on, and you can plan your strategies and your skills come out, not the randomness. And so that's one of the things we see people kind of reacting to.
That's also the map, though, when I go into it and it's like, oh, I guess I don't know this like pixel by pixel like route that has been like set for years now. Yeah. And I guess a guy's just going to shoot me when I take a step, basically.
So definitely in Versus, I think you see some people who play very tight and very no. And in co-op, generally tends to be a little bit looser, a little bit more for fun. So
I guess I just play with people who aren't as good as that, and I'm not. So, it works out.
Yeah.
Are you playing anything yourself right now, or is Left 4 Dead what you are doing with your life at all moments?
We still play a ton of Left 4 Dead. I actually play some online, play a little TF still, outside of, like, at work. You know, we're playing, every day we're playing Left 4 Dead, Left 4 Dead 2. And there's a new game mode that we're talking about in October, which I hate teasing about it, but that's what we've been playing a ton of lately, and it's just super fun, and a lot of grudge matches, a lot of hate, so it's fun. It's fun. Outside of that, I've been traveling a lot, so I've been doing a lot of travel kind of things. Actually, I played Madden the other night for a little bit.
Nice.
Other than that, it's my travel games, which are like Civ 4, my iPhone games.
This is the Civ 4 podcast occasionally. So.
Yeah. Oh, is it? Yeah. Yeah, that game is really just... There's something about pulling it out at the airport and on an airplane and just playing for it, and I can pick up, I know, I kind of can always remember in my head where my world is at, and it's a pretty satisfying game. They really did something special there.
Yeah.
Sure. It is one of those games that started, I don't know, get on Civ 4 fucking again, but it is one of those games where it's interesting now, it's been out for about 4 years now, and it almost feels like an institution, you know what I mean? It's kind of just one of those games that I feel like it's been out forever now,
even though
it hasn't been.
Well, that's what Civ 2 had, right? Yeah. I mean, Civ 3 really didn't have that, but Civ 2 had that as well. I mean, I remember playing that forever.
Yeah.
And now Civ 4, every so often, like, there's some closet Civ 4 players at work. You'll run into somebody, and you're like, yeah, actually, I should be playing new things, but I'm playing some more Civ 4 tonight.
Yeah, I see them pop up on Steam occasionally. Oh, that guy plays Civ 4.
Yeah, I find when I'm home, I purposely try to play new stuff. Because when I'm on the road, I'm playing Civ 4 and really...
Right.
And actually, it's Plants vs. Zombies. Playing some of that as well.
Yeah.
Before that, I was playing some, whatchamacallit, actually played a lot of it, so I can't believe I don't remember it. Open world, crazy, chains, weapon, big claws.
Prototype?
Yes, prototype. Thank you. Oh my god. I keep hearing protocol coming to my head, and I'm like, no, that's not it.
Yeah.
And that was a bunch of fun.
Yeah.
So, I actually want to play the new Batman.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Everyone's raging about that.
Everyone's crazy about Batman. Yeah.
So, I have to check that out.
Yeah.
I had to play Madden just to see how bad the Browns were.
All right.
Thank you, Madden team, for capping how low you'll go on a team. But they kind of have that artificial 7-9 cap.
Right,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have any team really go underneath that.
We need them to buy the game.
So you're not really a good Madden player until you can win with the Browns.
Right? You know, on I'm the realistic. Side? Or?
I'm realistic.
Yeah.
When I lived back in Cleveland, I was a Browns season ticket holder.
Okay.
I'm realistic about what's going to happen.
No illusions
there.
about their Madden
You know, if you want to see the most hardcore football fans, go to a game in December, January, snow, cold, and they're so out of it, it's not going to happen. It's still packed and fun.
Yeah. That's cool. That's almost the most, this is getting to a really ridiculous topic, but when I lived in San Diego, the Padres definitely had times when they were garbage.
Yes.
But that was the absolute best time to go see a Padres game. Because it's like the people who were there were just really into it, and like I'm not even a big sports guy at all, but it was just really fun to go and experience that when like people are only there really specifically because they just are super into that team, and you know, not necessarily just because
Well, and there's a whole kind of culture around it. You see people tailgating, it's like 7 a.m. They actually have hot tubs and grills.
Right.
Nice. And then when it's a Monday night game, they still start at 7 a.m. So that's why if you watch Monday night games from, you know, that are from Cleveland, you'll see a lot of guys kind of slumped over, kind of taking a break.
Yeah.
By the time it gets to the game itself, it's
this
is like sort of beside the point. Yeah.
That's cool.
But they're fun. I really miss going to those games.
Good times. I don't know where to go from here.
I know.
We're through football.
Yeah.
Got that covered. It's an official topic.
Yeah, there. I grew up a Lions fan, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Dear God.
Yeah. They don't have fun though. They just yell.
But you guys are always gonna feel special angry on Thanksgiving Day, right?
Well, yeah, I guess.
Nick is really dejected right now.
Yeah.
It'd be like you'd open the Sears catalog when it was the maybe it's too old for you, and it would be the vibrating football game. Remember that, right?
Yeah.
And you'd open it up, and you'd hope to show like your team in there, and instead it'd just be like at the bottom, and you could get the bottom.
So how's PAX been going for you?
Oh, really great. There's been some big lines at our booth playing some Left 4 Dead too. It's been great watching people. And you know, when is this going to air during PAX or over PAX?
Probably the next day or two, yeah.
Okay, because if you can still come to PAX, one of the cool things is working the booth is not just, we just didn't hire people to work the booth or anything. They're not PR people, they're actually developers. So if you want to talk to people who develop games at Valve, you know, stop by the booth. So Scott Dalton, who's a level designer down there just now, Vitaly. I'm going to just say Vitaly because they want to slaughter another last name.
I have this problem a lot. When people send us mail and like I try to...
Who's done a bunch of the matchmaking programming. He's down there. There's a whole bunch of people working. Sorry if I'm missing anyone.
It seems to be... it's probably getting less and less common at PAX as the height of booths get bigger and bigger, but the number of booths where it's just actually the developers that are there, because I mean, I know that's the case at ours as well.
Yeah,
it seems to be.
Which is nice because one of the number one question that people end up asking at shows is, do you make the game?
Yeah,
and it's nice to be able to say, yeah, I do. I'm not
exactly.
I'm not a hired marketing person from.
And then the minute you answer that, they ask, what about Half-Life 3?
What about it?
Yeah. Gordon is G-Man from the future.
Oh my God!
who's Alex's
hot
sister?
Scoops. Man, so wait, so Gordon, is the G-Man is Alex's sister or Gordon's?
They're the same. Did you not hear that whole sentence? There was like a double confirmation.
Sometimes the sentence gets longer or shorter,
okay,
depends.
Sure, okay. Right.
Yeah.
You gotta, like, sometimes include Mossman in the genealogy of
they're all there. It's one happy family. It's
different times.
It's
different
all
dimensions.
Gordon Freeman.
Been
traveling through time all over the place, populating the entire world with himself.
That would be amazing.
The Johnny Appleseed of future time travel.
God.
We might have weird, occasional, hypothetical Gordon Freeman discussion on this podcast
about how he's a psychopathic killer.
Just be like a crazy, like, sociopath who doesn't speak ever.
No.
And no? Oh, no.
Sorry.
No.
But if you want some Gordon Freeman action, how's this for?
That was a massive shoot down.
It was a bad idea. No. if you want some Gordon Freeman action, though, and you want to kill some zombies with the crowbar, Left 4 Dead 2.
I don't know what that means.
We've got the crowbar in.
Is that the actual crowbar geometry from Half-Life 2? Because it looks really similar. Like, I mean, it's a crowbar, but...
Yeah, it's definitely based on that. Since Half-Life 2 to Left 4 Dead, Source Engine's been updated. We've made some changes.
So it's like the up-resed crowbar. With
so
bonus.
You could hit some zombies with the crowbar. Yeah, how can you not love that?
That was exciting.
Yeah. That's cool.
Oh, you're right.
Do you guys ever get...
You're right.
You're right.
He's answering your statement from like 5 minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
We can just throw that out.
That's cool.
Whoever wants to take the you're right.
Sure. Do you guys ever get like firebombs or people come over and like...
What?
Berate you? I don't know. Like any of the crazy internet people?
Do you ever get firebombs?
Like, I don't know. People come and throw
like an internet forum. Cocktail through the window of the Left 4 Dead demo.
You know, we talk with our community all the time. We email back and forth. We engage them on the blogs in different ways. And you know, venting on the forums is part of life.
Yeah.
That's fine. Right? We all understand that. We all understand what's there. Like, you know, even should you have an angry email and you follow up, it's always like, oh, hey, you know what, dude, sorry. You know, actually,
Once you reveal to someone that you're a human being, they usually go, oh, my God.
For somebody to take that in person, they don't, but then they're the worst.
And then if you look at the steam powered forums and you kind of discount when people are just venting and stuff like that, that's absolutely a great place to get a really ton of information. If you look at like the TF stuff and the reaction to the Halos and all that, it's fun. It's really cool. So, really enjoy reading that stuff.
Sorry.
Steampower.com. How is the that all Halo stuff?
Oops.
You gotta go.
We have 3 minutes after this runs out of tape anyway. So, okay. And by tape, I mean SD memory.
Right, yeah, we're not using a reel to reel.
It's actually a cassette deck here they've got here for this
slash
tape.
Slash shaver.
Yes.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming and talking into a microphone.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for talking about some Civ 4. Good to see other people playing Civ 4.
Yeah. Got some Madden Civ 4. We covered all the important topics.
Yeah. Well, no one plays those games, right? They're little games. You got to get the word out on them so people can play them.
Nick has been very bitter about Civ Revolution. All right. Well, thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Thank you. Video game.
So if you ask me something I don't want to answer, I should just roar it out.
Yeah, just go,
Oh, you're right.